You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. It's just about 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 8th. Thanks to John Munson, who filled in for me last week while I went on a short vacation to Las Vegas, of all places. Saw the Hoover Dam, spent some time traveling around Wisconsin, too, visiting lots of fall festivals and Oktoberfests. I had fun. Hope you did, too. State lawmakers won't be having much fun in the future if the state budget isn't passed on time, if some legislators have their way. We will be talking about some of the proposals being floated to punish lawmakers if the budget isn't completed by July 1st, like it is supposed to be. After 7:30, we'll be talking with a Democrat, Joe Parisi, and a Republican, Dean Coffert, coming up in our next half hour about their proposals to make sure this budget delay doesn't happen again. Right now, though, we will welcome in, as we always do, for our state capitol report, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, to bring us up to date on what's going on at the state capitol, including the budget negotiations. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So besides budget negotiations, which we will get to in depth during this half hour, there was other news from the state capitol last week in that we have a Supreme Court justice race shaping up.
Yeah, you have three candidates now for this race. This is for the seat currently held by Justice Lewis Butler, who was appointed to that seat by Governor Jim Doyle. Judge Michael Gableman announced last week he plans to challenge Butler in that race, and so he joins Sun Prairie attorney Charlie Schutz. Means there's going to be a February primary, kind of like there was this year for the court race. Gableman, when he announced at the state capitol, he delivered a familiar conservative message, saying that he had experience with prosecuting criminals and that he wouldn't legislate from a bench.
With my background as a former prosecutor, with the fact that I want very much to be a fair, impartial administrator of justice and not legislate from the bench, not make law, but apply law, I think people are going to be attracted to that message.
Mm-hmm. So do we have what shaping up here, the same type of Supreme Court race that we just saw in this past spring, and that it's going to be, even though it's a nonpartisan, supposedly, seat, a conservative versus a liberal candidate?
It looks like it. Mm-hmm. Judge Gableman stressed a few times that he's not a partisan ideologue, but, his campaign is being run in part by Republican consultants. He was appointed when he was Ashland County District Attorney. He was appointed to that job by former Republican Governor Tommy Thompson. He was appointed to his seat as a judge by former Republican Governor Scott McCallum. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, you have the current sitting justice, Lewis Butler, was appointed to his seat by a Democratic governor. So it's an example of a nonpartisan race that's clearly partisan, yeah. And you'll have people taking sides. And then there's Sun Prairie attorney Charlie Schutz in the mix as well.
Yeah. Well, so speaking of Republicans and Democrats, how are they doing negotiating a state budget in the past week while I was gone?
You know, it depends on who you talk to. There were a number of people who said that they were pretty close to a deal, and it looks like that deal was not well received, whatever it was. And budget talks for the past couple of weeks have been negotiated in private, so it's hard for us to tell exactly what's been put on the table, what's taken off the table. But I don't think we're all that close to a deal this Monday, and we're more than 3 months late at this point.
So you're not predicting a budget by week's end?
Well, it could be surprised, but it just mm-hmm. doesn't look like it right now. Mm-hmm. Just given the kind of sniping back and forth you had last Friday after it appeared there may have been a deal on the table that people were seriously looking at.
Yeah, what kind of sniping?
Well, Democrats are basically saying we had a deal and that the speaker went back to his caucus and they didn't like it, and that's what's throwing this whole thing off. Republicans are saying, look, we're still $1 billion apart. The offer you put on the table spends $1 billion more than we want to. And we've been talking about it all year, but it seems like this is boiling down to taxes. And you've got a number of Republican lawmakers who've been very publicly against any tax increases in this budget, 25 Republican lawmakers signing pledges against any tax increases in the budget. And so that puts That puts Speaker Hipsch in a pretty tough spot. He has to respond to the concerns of his Assembly Republican caucus, which makes it tough to find a consensus that Democrats can agree to.
Yeah, before I went on vacation, I thought that Speaker Hipsch did agree in concept anyway with raising the cigarette tax, but now maybe that's not going to happen, or maybe he didn't agree to that.
That's one of those I'm not sure how well it was received by his Republican members. There were some who came out and said, look, what's going on here? We hear you're talking about a cigarette tax. We won't support that. And the speaker or the leadership came out and said, nothing's a done deal. We're talking. You know, the cigarette tax is still something that's not necessarily resolved.
And then I heard before I left that the Democrats had agreed to give up on this hospital tax as one of the Democrats' concessions. And then the hospital association said, wait a minute, we don't object to it anymore.
Yeah. And and apparently that's on the table as well, too. The hospital association isn't coming out in favor of the tax, but dropping their opposition is seen as a pretty big move. They said it was reworded to make sure that the money that's generated from this tax, or the extra federal money that's generated from this assessment, would indeed be used to pay for Medicaid at hospitals that need it. And it was also a sunset was added, and you know, just some other provisions that made the hospital association more comfortable. And so in Democrats' eyes, that made the hospital tax and a viable option on the table that deserved to be considered. Who knows what the entire Republican caucus thinks about that?
Yeah. Well, we're going to check weather, and then we'll talk more about the state budget delay, impasse, negotiations, whatever you want to call it. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. If you have a question or a thought on this, we are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. During this, our state capitol report, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, October the 8th. Coming up after 7:30, I'll be welcoming in Democratic State Representative from Madison, Joe Parisi, and Republican State Representative from Neenah, Dean Coffert, to talk about their ideas to prevent a budget impasse or a budget delay like we are seeing right now, 3 months and counting since the state budget should have been in place for this fiscal year. We'll hear about their ideas to maybe even arrest and jail lawmakers. How about docking pay? We'll wonder what you think about those ideas, and maybe you have ideas of your own when it comes to what should we do about if anything, to state lawmakers if we don't gotta have a budget on time. Sean, you were mentioning that this is the second time in history that it's been this late, or has it ever been this late before?
Yeah, I guess it accomplished that milestone over the weekend, and that was something that in the 90s when you had Chuck Walla for Senate Democrats and Scott Jensen running Assembly Republicans. They had an impasse that lasted until the 6th of October, and that's when the legislature passed their budget and sent it on to the governor. So it looks like we're going to blow right through that. And, you know, in 1971, they took longer to pass a budget. I suppose that's in sight.
Yeah, I guess. But in 71, it was the same thing, the split legislature?
Yeah, you had different circumstances then. Yeah. I mean, they were considering some big policy changes with the university at the time, but that was a split legislature, and that took quite a while.
Yeah. Well, I also heard that it looked like Governor Doyle, for a time there, was saying that maybe he would be okay with a separate transportation budget, but now, no?
Well, actually, the governor sort of introduced that idea last week. It threw it out as a possibility. You had the spokesman Matt Cantor saying that if that's what's holding up the rest of the budget, there is considerable disagreement over the oil tax that the governor put in the budget, we can put this off if it'll help resume the rest of the budget later. And Cantor was also insisting that both sides were inches away from a deal, and he was more firm than the governor has been in the past in blaming Republicans for the impasse.
If there was a willingness on both sides, to get a deal, well, we could have an agreement now. If Republicans were not still considering the possibility of not having a budget, then we could have a deal now. Unfortunately, there are many Republicans that are still maintaining the state does not need a budget. There are Republican special interest groups putting TV commercials up on the air and holding rallies to score political points, as opposed to getting a budget agreement done that will protect the priorities in this state.
Hmm. Yeah, Republican State Representative Stephen Nass, I read in the paper, saying, we don't need a budget, we're not in a crisis, we've got to hold firm, no new taxes.
Yeah, and I haven't heard Representative Nass say no budget at all. What I have heard him say, though, and we've got some audio of him here, is that we need to hold out for as long as it takes to make sure that there's no taxes in the budget and that there's no crisis looming.
I think that Democrats have underestimated the willingness of the Republicans to hold firm on no tax increases. And if we need to move forward into October and November and celebrate Christmas before there's a budget, then let it be. There is no crisis coming. There will be a lot of people who will paint an ugly picture. I think there will be a lot of games played with government in order to paint a picture of doom and gloom. But in reality, when we look at the Fiscal Bureau numbers, we really aren't going to hit a real problem until maybe next spring. But otherwise, we have time to sit down and negotiate a budget without tax increases.
So sounds like we might not have a budget until after Christmas.
Who knows? I mean, he doesn't speak for the entire caucus, obviously, but it just gives you an example of some of the outspoken fiscal conservatives that Speaker Hipsch has to pay attention to in his role as leader of Assembly Republicans. And then, you know, we've got another example here. Brett Davis, who's a lawmaker from a highly contested seat in Oregon, Wisconsin, he won his seat by just 250 votes last election. So he's in a position where he has to listen to the concerns of Republicans, independents, and Democratic voters. And he says that a majority of them are saying it's time to find compromise on the budget. He thinks that, you know, that could come in the form of a standalone education budget. He'd like to see an overall budget compromise, but he says he's prepared to take matters into his own hands if stuff like that doesn't happen.
What I'm committed to doing is making sure that the constituents that I have, the people that have voted for me, understand that I'm committed to making sure that we're investing in our priorities. And if I have to introduce a separate bill to do that, you know, then at some point, then that might be the case. But hopefully within the next couple of weeks, we'll see some resolution to this overall state budget, and that's not going to become necessary. But at some point in time, I mean, if the conference committee members aren't going to lead and finish the job, then others like myself might have to do something like that.
And that would be a pretty extraordinary step if you were to do that. And Representative Davis said in that interview also that he thought just the threat that might happen might be enough to get leaders to the floor. And so I don't think that's something that's imminent anyway. But to hear a lawmaker talking like that,
it is a highly contested seat, you say, but this is an issue that he feels threatens his reelection.
I guess, and the reason I mentioned it's highly contested is that some of these lawmakers who have taken the most outspoken stances against raising any tax at all and have said that we don't need a budget, they're in more comfortable seats where they have, strong Republican districts, and they can afford to take bold stances like that when it comes to taxes. In Representative Davis's district, it sounds like he's hearing from people who want to get this thing done. As we've heard on the air from people who say, like, why isn't this getting done? So just a couple of the that's going to be sort of potentially battling ideologies behind closed doors in the Republican caucus as this thing drags on. But at this point, to the public's eye, they're fairly unified behind this idea that Democrats, you still have too many taxes in this budget, and we're not going to back that.
Yeah. Well, I guess we heard from Nass saying this isn't doom and gloom. You're going to hear people saying, the sky is falling. We're not really in any trouble until next spring. Is that true, or is there some doom and gloom on the horizon here if this doesn't happen pretty soon?
Well, you know, it looks like lawmakers, they already blew a deadline that the state superintendent set down September 28th. She said she wanted to have a budget by then so she could tell schools how much aid they were going to get. And lawmakers could still get around that because by law, the superintendent has to tell schools by October 15th how much aid they're going to get. If lawmakers just collectively decide we're going to push that law back to give us a little bit more time, they could still get around that. But I mean, that's an example of a deadline where they knew it was coming and they both agree on how much state aid schools are going to get. But because they couldn't agree on how they wanted to pass that aid, the schools may have to rely on property taxes more and increase property taxes. So that's one example. The university was Regents held a meeting last week where they passed a resolution saying, get this budget done, and we have some consequences on the horizon if you don't do anything. One of them could be reduced class offerings in the spring. Mm-hmm. Another option would be a tuition surcharge if we don't get extra state aid. So you're going to hear more and more of that in the coming weeks. And I think, you know, the governor's been touring a bit to talk about why no budget is no option. I would expect that to just be kind of hard and heavy until there's some sort of resolution here.
And as we will be hearing from in our next half hour, a couple of lawmakers, and I think there are even more, who are proposing things to do in the future to make sure this doesn't happen again. And some of these are at least attention getting, to say the least, putting lawmakers in jail.
Yeah, well, that one is Representative Joe Parisi's proposal. He says that if you go past July 1st, once the conference committee starts meeting, they have to sit down for 8 hours a day. And if they don't, they go to jail. Once you get into the third week, you have to sit down, I think it's 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. And if you don't, you go to jail. And so faced with having to sit across the table from, you know, each other talking about these same talking points over and over and over again, he says people would probably get the job done.
Well, is Joe Parisi saying, put me in jail if my leaders don't come up with a budget plan? Or is he saying, just put my leader in jail?
Put your leader in jail.
All right. And or docking pay even.
That's something that was proposed by, I think, your second guest in the next half hour, Dean Crawford, saying we'll withhold pay and per diem until the budget gets done. Some of the critics of these plans are saying that they're kind of a distraction and that the reason we have a late budget is because these are huge differences between the parties. And Republicans say, you know, the reason this is dragging on is because you still haven't gotten the idea that, you know, we aren't going to support tax increases. Some Democrats are saying, look, these are big issues. These are cuts to some very important state programs if we just cut a deal right now. And so both sides are fairly entrenched.
Well, where do you just head off, Sean, and hang outside the conference room door to see if there's any update or what? We only got 30 seconds.
Yeah, you just hear little dribbles of information from day to day.
And are they planning? Are they meeting daily now or not?
They didn't meet over the weekend. They're scheduled to meet again today. Mm-hmm. It's kind of up to them when they meet. We don't know. It's up to Speaker Mike Hipsch and Majority Leader Judy Robson.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you next week, Sean. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Joy.
I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Monday, October the 8th. We will talk about a couple of different ideas being floated by state lawmakers to prevent the kind of budget gridlock that we are seeing right now from ever happening again. The new state budget is now more than 3 months late, and we have some lawmakers saying we should prevent this from happening in the future by, for example, throwing legislative leaders in jail if they drag out budget negotiations. How does that sound? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email with your question or comment to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Assembly Democrats unveiled what they call the Budget Deadline Enforcement Act last week, and we will talk with one of them during this half hour, and we will also talk with another state representative from Neenah, a Republican, about an idea to dock pay of lawmakers if the state budget isn't done on time. And again, we will welcome your ideas and your questions for both of our guests. We start with Joe Parisi, Democratic state representative from Madison, co-author of the Budget Deadline Enforcement Act. Good morning.
Good morning.
So throwing lawmakers in jail if we don't have a budget on time?
Well, actually, you know, a lot of folks in the media have kind of mischaracterized this proposal. What this proposal would do would say that once the budget is passed by both houses, if it's going to conference committee, the conference committee would be required to meet the Monday after the budget passed both houses. And they would be required to meet the first week 8 hours per day, 5 days a week. If they still don't have a budget, they would be required to meet the next 5 days, Monday through Friday, 9 hours a week. If after two weeks there's still no budget, they would be required to meet 10 hours a day, 6 days a week, until they have a budget. Now, I think the reason that a lot of people are characterizing this as something that would throw them in jail is, under current statutes and there's something called a call of the House, and that's when we're in session, legislators can be compelled to attend session, and the Assembly Sergeant of Arms is given the power to round them up if they don't want to come and come to session. And there's also a provision in the state statutes that allow the Assembly Sergeant to enlist the aid of the local sheriff. So we're not saying lock them in jail. We're saying compel them to attend the meetings. After the first 2 weeks, they'd have to be there 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, until they got the job done.
Well, we in the media like to exaggerate, because throw them in jail sounds a lot is a lot quicker
sure.
to say.
Sure.
But you're saying that they need some sort of threat to get this budget done on time.
Yeah, we need an enforcement mechanism. Part of the problem is that the conference committee hasn't formally met many times. You know, it's been 3 months since they got the budget. They've only met about 18 times. Under this proposal, they would have met about 75 times already, and 65 of those times would have been 10-hour days. Now, I can guarantee you, if you lock these folks in a room with each other 10 hours a day, day after day, they're going to get the budget done.
Yeah, how do you know, though, if we have really fiercely divided lawmakers when it comes to no new taxes versus we need these programs, how can you guarantee that we would have a budget?
Well, that's their job, and if they're in that room 10 hours a day with all eyes on them, what we've seen is after they started meeting, you know, after a couple months went by, we saw some proposals start to go back and forth, and we've seen a little give and take now, but they're still not there. Now, you know, I'm not saying this is a panacea. I don't think any of the proposals out there are a panacea. What we're seeing is a reflection of the frustration mm-hmm. of most of us in the legislature, because there are 132 members of the legislature, there are 8 members on the conference committee, and if 4 of those members decide they don't want a budget or they want to slow this process down, the rest of us are left out of the loop.
Yeah. How big of a deal is it, Representative Parisi, that we don't have this state budget 3 months into the fiscal year?
It's a huge deal. Schools depend on this budget. Local units of government depend on this budget. There are programs, for example, the Sand Ridge facility for sex offenders is overflowing, and they need to start building in addition onto it, and that's been planned. But that can't go forward until this budget is passed. So this is serious business. I mean, this is the legislature's job, one of its main jobs, to pass a budget. So it's time that it gets done, and if the folks in charge of getting it done aren't meeting, we need to compel them to meet, and we need to compel them to get their job done.
Yeah, why not say government shuts down if we don't have the budget on time?
One of the problems I have with government shutting down is it's our job to keep the government running. And we should do that job, and the members of the committee should be meeting to make sure that job happens. And certain members of the committee have publicly stated that they don't care if we don't have a budget, that we may not have a budget for another month. There's kind of a laissez-faire attitude about it. It's our job to keep government going. If we start shutting it down, it punishes the citizens who depend on our services. It also punishes the people who work in state government who have nothing to do with deciding if this budget is passed or not. So in my opinion, it's we have to watch out for the law of unintended consequences. The most straightforward approach under our current system, I believe, is to force the people to the table. That said, once this is done, I think we might have to take a look at how we do this in general. We may need to look at comprehensive reform, because if you recall, last time this went to conference committee, it didn't work out so well either.
Let's take a couple of calls, at least, from Joyce in Sun Prairie. Hi, Joyce, you're on the air.
Hi. I would like to suggest that if the legislature does not pass a budget, say, within 1 month after the deadline for it, the governor's budget automatically becomes accepted and is the one they live by.
Well, there's an idea. Well, what do you think about compelling the legislative leaders to meet? Making them meet or maybe facing arrest if they don't.
Well, that sounds okay, too.
Yeah, but what about that idea, Representative Parisi? The governor's budget is accepted if the lawmakers can't agree to something else.
I don't necessarily have a problem with the governor's budget. I think this governor's budget was a great budget. However, you might run into some constitutional problems with just allowing the executive branch to set the budget.
Yeah. And you might have had a problem if it was the Republicans' budget that was governor's budget.
Yeah.
Ron in Madison. Hi, Ron.
Hi, Joy. How are you today?
Very good.
I just want to say I heard the guest say that, or maybe it was you that said that people are frustrated that the budget isn't passed. And, all I can tell you as a dedicated libertarian, I'm anything but frustrated. I'm extremely happy that no budget's passed and that no laws get passed, and I would prefer that be the standing policy and the order for the state for a number of years. Too much budget, too many taxes, too many laws, too much government. Let's shut it down and see if the libertarian's point of view maybe would work a little bit better. So there's a number of us that are not frustrated, is what I'm trying to say. We're kind of happy to see this happening.
Yeah. Well, what about that, Representative Parisi?
Well, unfortunately, that attitude is pervasive among some of the members of the conference committee. They don't like government. I mean, we have people who have run for public office and have been elected to public office who don't necessarily believe in government. And I think that's a problem. As I said before, it's our job to keep the government running. We were not elected not to pass a budget. If the libertarian movement, you know, wants to get enough people elected who don't want government and to change the Constitution, to change the state statutes, that's fine. But, you know, we've been elected to do a job, and, you know, may there are areas where perhaps, you know, not everyone agrees with what government is doing, but I think most of our citizens understand the need for state government to be running effectively and efficiently.
Thank you, Ron. Ryan in Waukesha, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. First point, I guess, is I disagree with your guest that it's their job to keep government running. It's their job to represent the public, to represent the voters. I think this action that they're proposing is a bully tactic to get people to cave in on their principles. I personally applaud the Republicans for actually growing a backbone this time and sticking to a no-tax increase. I might be mistaken on this, too, but if they don't pass a budget, that just simply means they live by the old budget, doesn't it?
Representative Parisi?
In certain areas, yes, but it has nothing to do with the cost to continue. It doesn't allow, for example, as I said, for the expansion of the sex offender facility. Corrections is going to be short a lot of money. There are 700 prisoners being housed in county jail right now. Jails across the state that there will not be funds to pay for. And as far as the caller's comments, you know, as far as representing our constituents, my constituents elected me to make sure that we have a strong university, make sure we have strong public schools, environmental protection, that, you know, if their house catches on fire, there's money to pay for the fire truck and the firefighters to come and put out that fire. And my constituents also elected me to, when necessary, to work out differences with the other side, to compromise. And so to simply say it's my way or the highway, I don't know many people who are going to say that that's why they voted for someone. I think they want us to work out our differences and keep providing the kind of services that our university, that our schools, et cetera, depend on.
We'll leave it there for now. Thanks a lot for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
Joe Parisi, Democratic State Representative from Madison, co-author of the Budget Deadline Enforcement Act. And we'll talk with another state lawmaker about his idea to try to get a state budget done on time the next time after the weather. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Just about 12 minutes before 8 o'clock on this Monday, October the 8th. Coming up after 8, Wisconsin Public Radio's director Phil Corveau joins me for his monthly visit to talk about the latest news affecting Wisconsin Public Radio and what you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Phil Corveau coming in after 8 o'clock this morning. We are talking with various state lawmakers during this, our state capitol report about the delayed budget. We heard from Joe Parisi moments ago, Democratic State Representative from Madison, co-author of the Budget Deadline Enforcement Act. Assembly Democrats introduced this last week. This bill would force members of the Budget Conference Committee to start negotiating the budget by July 1st. They would have to meet Monday through Friday for a minimum of 8 hours a day. If the talks would spill over into a third week, they would have to stay at the job negotiating the budget 10 hours a day, 6 days a week until the budget gets finished. And if the leaders don't cooperate, they could be arrested. Joe Parisi talking to us about why he co-authored that idea. And now we will welcome in Dean Coffert, who is a Republican state representative from Neenah, who thinks maybe we should consider docking the pay of legislators if the budget isn't done on time. Representative Coffert joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so you think the pay, hitting lawmakers in the paycheck will be what works?
Well, it's just one idea. I mean, this is, I've been here 16 years now. I thought I'd seen everything, but this is, you know, we're in new territory here. And, you know, it's somewhat unusual because we've been here before. We've been, have a split legislature, and you know, we had it when Chuck Quella and Scott Jensen were here, and they were able to, you know, hammer out a budget. So it's getting frustrated. It's trying to find a solution for down the road, not so much this budget, because but we need to start thinking on how we can change the process to make it work better down the future.
Yeah, and how would your idea work? Isn't there something in the Constitution that says we can't do this to you guys?
Yeah, there seems to be a problem with that, and unfortunately, but you know, it's one of many ideas out there. I think you know, docking the pay will surely get their attention, though, and it'll get all the other members' attentions, because what's a little frustrating is that right now it's like, you know, there's 132 legislators, and really four members are making all the decisions. And, you know, at some point we'll get our kick at the cat and we'll have to vote on it. But those four or five people, whatever it is, are making all the decisions for the rest of us. And, you know, the perception is you know, we're not working. But on the other hand, talking with Speaker Hipsch and that, you know, they're working. They're working more than people think. They're putting in behind-the-scenes hours. They're talking at Fiscal Bureau. They're meeting in their offices to try and hammer out a deal. But, you know, realistically, I mean, sometimes one side isn't going to negotiate, or the other thing is there is philosophical differences. And in this case, there is philosophical differences, and the Republicans believe we don't need any more taxes, higher taxes in this state.
Yeah, and do you think, I asked Representative Parisi, if this was a big deal and all that important that we did not have a state budget 3 months into the fiscal year? He said it was a huge deal. Do you think it's a huge deal?
Well, you look around, you know, and everything, nothing's stopped. I mean, on one hand, nothing has stopped. I mean, the garbage is still being picked up, and if it snowed tomorrow, the plows would be out. Schools are open. You know, there's really, if you really look into it, and I asked Bob Lang from the Fiscal Bureau, you know, what impact has this had thus far? And you know what? It's very minimal, I mean, up to this point. Down the road, there will be ramifications. as we get into probably early January and that. But right now, Joy, they're really the only thing. If you're a student, a college student, you don't know if you're going to get financial aid. That's about the only impact thus far. All the scare tactics that the governor's using on senior care and all that, you know, those are just red herrings, and up to this point, they're not being affected. If we don't go the whole fiscal year without a budget, that could be problematic. But the fact is that one of the ramifications of this no budget is that people aren't paying those higher taxes that the governor put in his budget and the Democrats put in theirs with the oil tax and the hospital tax and the doubling of the real estate tax and the SIG tax and all those new taxes that we believe you don't need. So
yeah.
Up to this point, all the state workers are working. Everything is going as they, you know, as it should be. But the one thing that I think we need to do is find a way to put more pressure on legislators. Get your work done in a reasonable amount of time, because I can tell you in the real world, people don't get the job done, there's ramifications.
Yeah. Are you hearing from constituents about the do-nothing legislature?
You know, up until September, I didn't hear from anyone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, no one was paying attention. They're all on vacation. There's no impacts on hardly anyone. And now, you know, since mm-hmm. school's back in and that, people are starting to talk. It's getting more difficult to go to the grocery store because people are saying, when are you going to get that budget done, you know? But if you take the time to tell them why there's no budget, many of them go, oh, well, yeah, I don't want to pay higher property taxes. I don't want to pay higher taxes. So, you know, when you tell them that, some of them then say,
yeah.
you know, stick to your guns, or, yeah, you know, you guys, they all want us to work together. They all want us to compromise. But in this instance, compromise is going to mean more spending by state government, and compromise is going to mean more taxes and higher taxes. And the Republicans just aren't going to go for higher taxes.
A few calls for you. Leroy and Holman, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe, and good morning to your guests. I think, though, that this situation has to do with leadership. I think sometimes we try to make the taxation part of it seem a little more poignant, but the whole issue is how this legislature has been able to lead the people of Wisconsin. So here is my proposal. Why don't we, if the legislature cannot come up with a budget after 60 days, we put the Republican and Democratic budgets to a referendum? Because we are the taxpayer. We can then choose which budget we want to support.
Oh.
That way you don't have the burden,
yeah.
and you can sit there and procrastinate.
Well, what about that, Representative Crawford?
Well, you know, we have a representative democracy, and it's the best, you know, in the world, and democracy, and that's why you elect people. I mean, you'd be changing the whole way that we do business, and, you know, referendums are costly. There's costs added on to it, and that's why you elect people. And the fact is, if you don't like what they're doing, don't elect them the next time that they come up for re-election. And I think that that's one of the fears that, you know, as we as legislators going into the next election. I mean, people might just say, you know what, if none of them, if they can't work together, let's try and, you know, get people in there who can. And, you know, that's their prerogative. But the fact is that these people are working behind the scenes pretty hard. You know, Senator Decker and Representative Hipsch and Judy Robson, they're working, but there's just that those philosophical differences, number one. And number two, I think the era of political gotcha has just went a little bit too far this year, that both sides, the governor put together a budget with the most increases in taxes that this state has ever seen. The state Democrats filled the budget with all kinds of pork and policy and sent it over to the Assembly. And then the Assembly Republicans had to do the same thing because we knew that there was going to be compromise. We knew that we were going to have to negotiate. So we filled the document with all kinds of partisan, you know, things that we knew didn't have a chance either. So now here you are at this stalemate.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things in one of my other proposals when I was the chair of the Finance Committee, keep the policy out of the budget.
Yeah.
If it doesn't have any fiscal impact, keep that out of the budget. And that's another proposal and a reform that I would like to see, is that we keep the policy out, because whenever you put policy in, that's when you get into You know, the really ugly stuff happens.
Yeah, what about shutting down government if the budget isn't done on time?
I don't support that. I mean, I think, you know, there's for one thing, there's essential services. I know Michigan, you know, they had that hanging over their heads, the actual shutdown of government, because that catches people's attention. But I think that is probably going a little bit too far. And, you know, there's a reason people pay high taxes in this state. One of the reasons is they have a high level of services. And, you know, I wouldn't be in support of that. I really believe that at some point, you know, legislators pay. For many of these people, this is a full-time job. In my case, I have other interests. I have a couple businesses here in the Fox Valley. And so I do it, you know, two-thirds full-time. I have other income. But you shut down their paychecks, I'm here to tell you that there is going to be tremendous pressure from members on leadership of both sides to quit screwing around, get it done, because I don't want it affecting my paycheck.
All right. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Dean Coffert, Republican State Representative from Neenah. And we thank him for being with us. We thank Democratic State Representative Joe Parisi for being with us, and Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter, all with us for this edition of the State Capitol Report. Thanks to Leo Duran and Karen Prager for producing it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.